This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwarzer joins us to discuss withdrawal and how it impacts our relationships. We will have a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
And Todd Pogleb returns with another Reflections of Hope episode. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. We can't wait to kick off today's program.
That's right. It's a lovely Friday morning, friends, and we are so glad you chose to start your weekend with the love of Jesus.
You know, we have so much to share with you today, but first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1971, the three Soviet cosmonauts who served as the first crew of the world's first space station died when their spacecraft depressurized during reentry. The cosmonauts Vladimir Komarov and Yuri Gagarin's backup Alexei Leonov were involved in a reentry disaster during the Soyuz 1 mission. Komarov's spacecraft experienced multiple technical failures, including a parachute malfunction, resulting in a fatal crash. The tragedy of the Soviet cosmonauts prompts reflection on the fragility and brevity of human life.
You know, Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16 states, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." You know, the loss of life in this event reminds us of the fleeting nature of our earthly existence and the importance of cherishing each moment that we have been given. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 reminds us, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And as we strive for progress and explore new frontiers, it is important for us to acknowledge our reliance on God's guidance and recognize that our life is in His hands.
Amen. I thank God for that every day. In relationships, withdrawal often leads to a breakdown in communication between individuals. When one person withdraws, it creates a gap in understanding and prevents open dialogue. Communication is crucial for resolving conflicts, expressing needs, and fostering emotional intimacy in relationships. How can we exhibit effective communication in our relationships and avoid the negative consequences of withdrawal? Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwarzer explains.
www.mancavesite.org is the cyber grand central for all things that have to do with man caves. They have links such as Cave Crusade, Intercavement, special events, recipes, Mom Cave versus Man Cave, and they even have a Man Cave of the Year award. Mancavesite.org is a gentle reminder to all of us that there's nothing wrong with a little bit of personal time. Everyone needs a little personal time. But personal time becomes a problem when it becomes a pattern, particularly if that pattern comes as a result of unresolved conflict in relationships. Withdrawal is the loneliest of the seven deadly relationship sins. Human beings are social creatures, wired for relationship, made in the image of a social relational God. And so if we don't have good, healthy relationships, we deprive ourselves the same way we would if we didn't eat enough food or drink enough water, get enough sunlight or exercise. We need relationships the way we need those basic physical things. When we don't have those healthy relationships, we suffer loneliness. Loneliness is actually bad for your health, associated with increased mortality, up to 50%, comparable to smoking, and two times the risk of obesity. Loneliness impairs immune function. It boosts inflammation. It can lead to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and arthritis. The Proverbs know what they're saying when they say, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones." Apparently, loneliness is on the rise. A Dr. Cacioppo from the University of Chicago has noted that loneliness has increased since the 1980s. He estimated it at about 20% in the 1980s, and he says today it's more like 40%. A recent UK study showed that loneliness was higher in the 18 to 34 age range. In other words, those that are more connected via social networking are apparently less connected in actual personal relationships. Relationships involve two main skills. Let me call it friend making and friend keeping. Now, some of us are strong in one of those, but not the other. We may be very, very good at holding on to relationships and forming intimate bonds, but we have a difficult time making friends. But some people are kind of on the other end of the spectrum, where they can form surface relationships and they do okay in the novel phase of a relationship, but they have a difficult time working through conflict into the deeper phases of relationships. So sometimes friend keeping is what suffers. The reason that we have difficulty keeping friends sometimes is because we don't have good conflict resolution skills. The marriage therapist, well-known John Gottman, says that the difference between masters and disasters is the ability to repair a relationship. So the replacement for withdrawal is repair. And the crucial aspect of that repair process is the environment within the relationship. Have you created an environment through generosity and kindness that makes the individual with whom you are attempting to repair inclined to want to repair with you? Gary Chapman wrote a wonderful book called The Five Love Languages, and in the book he identified five different ways in which we communicate and receive the communication of love. And he identified them as affirmative words, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. The genius of the book is that it pulls us out of ourselves to where we talk in the other person's language, really basically acting unselfishly. And when we are consistently unselfish in a relationship, when something goes wrong, however awkwardly we may attempt to repair that, if we have been kind to that person and loving to that person and talked in their love language, they're going to want to repair with us and they're going to be very receptive. And that is going to determine the success of the repair attempt. Another very important skill is very simple, very universal, and it's simply to say you're sorry. When you go to repair a situation, take responsibility for what you did to cause the problem. Don't focus on their responsibility. Focus on your own, and then leave them space to take responsibility for what they did. And just simply say, I'm sorry. With these conflict resolution skills, these repair skills in place, we can repair relationships and in that way move forward into the deeper layers of intimacy rather than withdrawing from those relationships. The replacement for withdrawal is repair. Get your toolbox and start using your tools.
If you're enjoying our program, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to watch or rewatch a recent segment or discover more inspiring content.
And check us out on YouTube, friends, to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. We'll be right back.
In life, we face many storms that take away our peace, obstacles that block us from reaching our destination. There are many winds of worry that blow us off track from attaining our goals, waves of weakness that beat us and drive us to spiritual shipwreck. Perhaps this is where you are right now, but a shipwreck doesn't have to be the end of your journey. It could be the beginning of a new discovery and a better version of yourself. So friends, be inspired as you listen to today's Reflections of Hope episode.
The 16th and 17th centuries were a time of great exploration and adventure in the world. The kings and rulers of Europe became possessed with the spirit of conquest and colonization. And among the Europeans, Great Britain stood out as a conquering kingdom of colonizers. From her shores, multiple vessels launched out into the great unknown. They were searching for lands, big and small, to enlarge their territory and enrich their treasuries. In 1607, an English settlement was established in the Americas, Jamestown, Virginia. This would end up being the first permanent English settlement in the Americas, setting the foundation for a new English-speaking superpower. But the colony was threatened by harsh weather, famine, and disease. The history books call this period of peril starvation time. The population had dropped from 500 to a mere 60 settlers. They ate snakes, boiled their leather shoes, and scientific evidence shows that some even turned to cannibalism. Scores of people perished from the power of the famine. In response to the crisis, a salvation expedition was organized in England. A ship was sent out across the mighty Atlantic to bring aid and relief. This vessel of salvation bore the necessary provisions to restore and preserve life. The ship was loaded with food and various supplies. The flagship that carried this salvation operation was called the Sea Venture, led by the great admiral, Sir George Somers. And so, the Sea Venture set sail on June 2nd, 1609, bound for Jamestown. But after over 50 days of smooth sailing, the ship encountered a hurricane. Now, many ships her size had survived such weather, but the Sea Venture had a critical flaw. Because of its newness and its hasty departure, the timbers of the ship had not yet set. The caulking between the boards was forced out by the water, causing massive leaks. The ship was taken on water because it wasn't sealed right and tight. And during that emergency, all the non-essentials were thrown overboard. The massive guns on deck were jettisoned to raise the buoyancy of the boat. No need of that anymore. Survival is all that matters. The next day on July 25th, 1610, Admiral George Somers spied land in the distance. So to prevent it sinking, he deliberately drove the Sea Venture onto the reef at Discovery Bay. All 150 people on board, including one dog, made it safely to the shores of a sweet island paradise, an uninhabited haven of rest that they'd never seen before. A terrible shipwreck led to a paradise of rest. The history books tell us that after 9 months in the womb of this island paradise came the birth of two ships. And these ships were largely made of the stripped material of the Sea Venture. These two vessels of redemption would end up completing the salvation operation. Their names are an illustration of what God can do from the brokenness of our lives. Their names were Patience and Deliverance. On May 10th, 1610, Deliverance and Patience set sail from Bermuda for Jamestown. They arrived on the American shores 13 days later and found the 60 survivors almost dead. Everyone boarded the ships and were brought back to England. And through a miracle of grace, everyone made it back to the safe shores of their earthly home, carried by Patience and Deliverance to salvation and rest. Many are the lessons we learn from this story. You see, in life, we face many storms that take away our peace, obstacles that block us from reaching our destination, winds that blow us off track from attaining our goals, waves that beat us and drive us to spiritual shipwreck. Perhaps this is where you are today. And if so, I want to let you know that shipwreck doesn't have to be the end of your journey. For just like the Sea Venture, it was shipwreck in a storm that led to a great discovery. It was shipwreck in a storm that brought them to an untouched paradise. And thus, this experience led to the building of Patience and the birthing of Deliverance. And so too in the shipwrecks of life, take courage and count your blessings. In the failures of life, learn the lessons that will only make you stronger. And thank God even in the shipwreck. For it is the means by which God is developing patience within us that will enable us to endure any future storm we face. It is the means by which God is preparing us for final deliverance when He returns the second time. And it is the avenue by which will land us into the sweet paradise above. For God is the God that can bring beauty even from the brokenness and salvation even from the shipwreck.
Thank you, Taj. What a powerful lesson. We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we will have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought.
there were tears in her eyes when she came to me. She was concerned about her children. She said, "Pastor, I must have done something wrong when I raised them. I brought them up to know Jesus, brought them up to go to church. But you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. I must have done something wrong." Let's go back and look at that text with new eyes. Let's look at it with fresh eyes. And let me share with you the counsel, the guidance that I gave to that woman. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, this expression, train up, you see, a lot of people think, well, here's a promise that God gives to us. And if I have a child that goes astray, that when they're an adult, they no longer desire to follow Christ, I must have done something wrong in the training up process. Because it says, train up a child in the way he'll go. That's a promise now. And if when he's old, he won't depart from it, but my child departed. This expression, train up, is an interesting expression. It's an old Arabic phrase that literally can be translated, rub the gums. Rub the gums. What's that all about? It's the story of Hebrew mothers teaching their children to nurse. When a Hebrew mother was trying to teach her child to nurse, there were times that the child would have a very difficult time nursing. So the Hebrew mother would get a little vial here, little wooden cup, and carved out, and they'd put a little water in it, and they would mix date paste in that water. And then mother would put her finger in that date paste in the water and get a little bit of that sugary date paste on her finger and put her finger in the child's mouth. So the child then would begin, you know, sucking. She would teach the child to suck. And as she did, the child then would learn to feed at her breast. What is this text saying? Rub the gums of your child. Sometimes the mother would rub the gums with this little date paste so the child would get used to it. In other words, what this text is saying is, put a spiritual taste in your child's mouth. And when they are old, they will never forget it. Rather than being a discouraging text, this is an incredibly encouraging text. Because what it really says is, put this taste in your child's mouth. Now, your child's going to have choices. Your child may choose not to come to church. They may choose to walk away from Christ. But the taste you put in their mouth as a child will always be there. That taste will never go away. And even if that child, through their own choice, because you can't manipulate their choice, God couldn't manipulate Adam and Eve's choice in the Garden of Eden, could he? Even if they make the wrong choice and walk away, they're always going to have that spiritual taste. There is always going to be that inner longing for something spiritual, and God can use that to bring them back. Jewish mothers understood this. They understood the necessity of putting a spiritual taste in their children's mouth. From the time the child was young, mama would begin to sing what was called the Shema to them. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, the Lord our God is one. And these Jewish mothers would sit and they would rock their children and sing to them, the Lord our God is one, Lord. The Lord our God is one. And this would be anchored in the child's mind. The story is told that during the Second World War, many Jewish parents, of course, in Germany and in many of the countries that Hitler attacked and overthrew, many of these Jewish parents were taken and put in prison camps and died. To protect their children, they placed them in orphanages, and many of them went into Catholic orphanages. At the end of the war, these children were orphans. And Jewish rabbis would go to the orphanages to try to identify the Jewish children. But many of the priests would not allow them to enter the orphanage. They would say, you need papers to show the name of the child. Well, of course, those papers were destroyed during the war. On one occasion, some rabbis came to one of these orphanages. The priest refused to let them in. He said, "We have no Jewish children here. Approve it." And they, of course, didn't have the papers. And they said, "Well, what about the names? These are Jewish names." "No, they're similar to Polish names, and you can't prove that without the documentation." And so the Jewish rabbis went to the American commander who was in charge of that area, and he told them the story. And they said, "Well, let's go back." And so they went back to the orphanage, and these Jewish rabbis said, "Can we just walk through?" So the priest allowed them to walk through. And the rabbi began to sing the Shema, this Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 called the Shema. He began to sing, "The Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord." And a little child over here, 2 years old, begins to cry. "Mama, mama." A 7-year-old over here begins to cry. "Mama, mama." And the rabbi said, "That one is one of mine. That one is one of mine. That one is one of mine." Why? Because the parents had built into their children at a very young age the principles of the kingdom of God. And even in captivity, even through the devastating effects of war, these children never forgot what was in their mind. I want to encourage you today. There's somebody watching, wake up with hope that you've become discouraged. You've raised your children to know Jesus, but they've drifted away. That longing, that spiritual longing, is still in their heart. You have rubbed their gums, if I can say it that way. You have placed within them a desire for spiritual things. And the Holy Spirit can use that desire. The Holy Spirit can move upon their hearts. The Holy Spirit can bring them back. Do not give up hope. Continue to pray for those children that do have that spiritual longing in their heart, just like those Jewish children who never forgot that Shema, the Lord our God is one God. Even in captivity and bondage, they remembered that. Even without their parents, they remembered that. There's some boy, some girl, some son, some daughter at this very moment that has drifted away. But the Holy Spirit is stirring their heart. They're remembering what you taught them. They're remembering the Bible stories that you read to them. They're remembering the Sabbath school that you brought them to. They're remembering some hymn that's sung at home. They're remembering Friday nights at home, where the family gathered together to seek God in prayer and you had a special meal. They're remembering all those things. You have created a spiritual desire in their heart. Now pray. Now ask God to nurture that desire. Now ask God to stimulate that desire to bring them back to the God of their childhood, to bring them back to the Christ who loves them and dies for them. Don't give up. Keep praying and praying and praying.
Thank you so much for those encouraging words.
And thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And friends, we look forward to starting the week with you, so don't forget to join us right here on Monday morning, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia Olive and Moses, and much more.
Also, if you enjoy today's devotional thought, you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study.
And we don't want to leave without sharing a Bible promise for the weekend. And today's promise comes from Psalm chapter 91, verse 3.
It says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence."
This beautiful verse assures us of God's saving power and protection. It reminds us that God is our refuge from various dangers and challenges we may face. God promises comfort, hope, and encouragement to trust in his faithful deliverance. So friends, may you find peace in the promise of Psalm 91:3 and rest in the assurance that God is our ultimate protector and Savior.
Amen. What a blessing. And we hope you keep this amazing promise in your heart this weekend. And we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we've come to the end of the week. What a journey has been. In the last few days, Lord, our faith has increased. We are filled with hope. And now as we take a short pause, as we go our separate ways for the weekend, we pray, Lord, that you would remain in us. Give us strength and courage, Lord, to be refreshed and renewed, ready to be reunited in a new week. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.